because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. 90 degrees, heat index is at 95, humidity's at 50%, winds are out of south at 14, gust up to 17, half what it was yesterday, but it's still kind of breezy out there. I'll have your Holbert Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up for you later on in the last part of the show, but there's no good news in it. I did see in the Long Ranger, a week from this coming Monday, there's a 30% chance of showers. So anyway, that's good news for you. Well, there's all kinds of things going on in the ag world today, and I want to cover the one later on here, probably next segment, on the dead cattle in the feedlots in Kansas. Social media, I like it just to see what's going on in the world, but sometimes it can cause more chaos than it's worth. And this deal floating around and the wording, the closed caption on the feeder cattle that died up in the Kansas is bloated out of proportion. And we don't need PETA and animal rights activists and all them people in our lives. So anyway, I'll cover that a little bit later on and tell you the truth that I found out from the Kansas Livestock Commission. So we'll figure out that later on in the show. Meanwhile, let's see what's happening in the stock market right now. Let's start out with grains again. Maybe if it'll cooperate with me. There we go. Anyway, it looks like a lot of things are in the green today except for livestock. But we'll go over the futures on grains right quick. Corn, July is at 787. December's at 736. Soybeans, July's at 1710. August is at 1631. September's at 1564. Soybean meal, July 428 per ton, short ton that is. And soybean meal in August is 414.80. Soybean oil is at 76 cents. Soybean oil for August is 74, September 73 cents. Hard red winter wheat, July 1151, September 1158. Oats for July 657 and September's at 621. Cotton is at $1.43 a pound. Let's see what our cash grain prices are doing in Oklahoma as of right now. Hard red winter wheat is at 1089. Corn's at 847, Milo's at 775. These are all cash prices here. And soybeans are 1616 per bushel. Well, let's see what's happening to cause all this chaos that we always see every day. I mean, all you got to do is mention something on TV or on social media and prices on everything just changes. One thing, it might be the Ukraine. Next thing, it might be a drought. Next thing, you know, guys know how it is, but with the media, the way it is now, markets are changing every 5 minutes. So just don't count on anything 5 minutes later. Corn futures were higher in overnight trading amid adverse growing weather in parts of the United States. Soybean was a little changed and wheat was lower. Extremely hot weather is expected for the next few days in central Nebraska, and heat warnings and advisory remain in place in parts of Illinois and Indiana. Basically, the whole Midwest and Southern Plains is under a heat advisory. Little to no rain has fallen in parts of Kansas, Missouri, and Southern Illinois in the past week, according to the National Weather Service page. In Iowa, the southern half of the state has seen little precipitation in the past 7 days. The U.S. Drought Monitor shows that most Corn Belt states were faring fairly well last week. though 88% of Nebraska was seeing drought conditions. Just over 4% of the state was suffering from extreme drought, the second worst rating on the monitor scale. Crop stress from dry weather is centered over on the central and southwestern Midwest, which will have effect on about 25% of the corn and soybeans in the next 10 days. It's not all bad news, though, as rain in the 11 to 15 day outlook likely will keep stress limited. About 88% of the U.S. corn crop has emerged as of Sunday, in line with the prior five-year average. The Department of Agriculture said in a report earlier this week that's up from 78% a week earlier. Some 72% of the crop was in good or excellent condition at the start of the week, down a percentage point from the previous week. 70% of soybeans have emerged from the ground versus the average of 74 for this time of the year, but that's up from 56% a week earlier. In the southern plains, that's us, dry weather is expected to prevail for the next few days, which will aid in the winter wheat harvest. And speaking of the winter wheat harvest, tomorrow I will have the executive director of the Oklahoma Wheat Commissioner on the show with me tomorrow, Mike Schulze. He'll be in here, and he's going to give us a progress report and talk about a few things pretty quickly. And then as soon as harvest is over in Oklahoma, he'll be coming back on and giving us a rundown of what was going on with that. 10% of the U.S. winter wheat crop was harvested as of Sunday. That's up from 5% a week earlier, but just behind the prior five-year average of 12%. About 31% of the crop was in good or excellent condition. That's up from 30% a week earlier. Still at this point, last year, 48% of the U.S. winter wheat had earned top ratings, according to the USDA. Corn futures for July delivery rose 2¾ cents to $7.76¾ a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. July soybeans carrying 1½ cents to $16.95¼ a bushel. Wheat futures for September delivery 3¼ to $10.60¼ a bushel, while Kansas City wheat futures lost 5¼ down to $11.35 even a bushel. Ethanol production rebounded last week while inventories declined, according to the Energy Information Administration. Output in the last 7 days that ended on June 10th rose to average of 1.06 million barrels a day, according to the EIA and its report. That's up from 1.039 million barrels a day on average the previous week. The Midwest, by far the biggest producing region of ethanol, production rose to an average of 999,000 barrels even per day, and that's up from 985,000 barrels the week prior to that. Gulf Coast production served at 26,000, and that's up from 19,000 barrels the week before. Rocky Mountain production was the lone decliner for the week, falling to an average of 14,000 barrels a day from 15,000 barrels the previous week. Meanwhile, though, ethanol stockpiles dropped to 23.197 million barrels in the 7 days that ended on June 10th. That's down from 23.636 million barrels a week earlier, according to the EIA. Hot weather continues in the Midwest, as I mentioned earlier, as excessive heat watch has been issued for central Nebraska. More heat warnings are in place for southern Illinois, parts of Missouri, Indiana, Kentucky, everywhere. It's just hot. The whole Midwest and Southern Plains is just hot. Be careful with everything out there. Please keep an eye out on your livestock water if you don't have a pond. Check it daily. It gets hot. My cows this morning out here west of town, my soon-to-be second calf heifers, goes out to Mr. Frazier and Mr. Potter. They want to argue with me on that all day long. But anyway, they came up, and I don't think they'd been up in a while. I turned them out on a new 80, 3 days ago, And I don't even know if they'd been up yet. And they came up this morning, and 26 cows and two bulls, and what babies that could reach over the top of that tank, sucked that whole tank, and this 12-foot tank sucked her down to a fourth in a matter of 30 minutes. And a solar pump, it's going to take it a while to fill back up. And I shut them off from the windmill side because I don't want them over there. Of course, there was one baby limped up. He's big old knot on his back, on her back leg. Anyway, I just caught them. They got a cottonwood tree in there for some shade, but they got water. But make sure your cattle have shade and water. This is extremely hot and dry weather and very humid. So take care of your babies like you do your first wife. Anyway, but we'll be back after this with some talk on livestock futures and prices. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
We strive in our cow herd for high-efficiency cattle. We want lots of gain with low input. That's what we strive for. We want our customers to be able to wean the biggest calf without putting much money into that. We try to prove that through our commercial herd, and then if they prove themselves there, then we make them registered, and we chase those bloodlines. Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Bubba's yelling down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Speaking of Hobart Stockyards, next week, next Wednesday, 25 pairs will be there that are all, most of them are bred back, worked, and got their shots. They're all, look like they're all solid black, and I can't see any age on them. Looks like they don't look too old. So anyway, they'll be there next Wednesday, and they're 2 to 3 year olds. Just found out the age on them. Also, coming up Saturday, June 25th. Which, what's that make it? Yep, that'll be a week from this coming Saturday. They will be having their goat sheep sale again. I know, that's two of them this month, but 4th of July falls on the 1st one of July. So they're going to have another one this month, goat and sheep sale. Bring your animals at Friday from 12 to 7, and Saturday 7:30 to 11. And the sale begins at 11 o'clock. Got any questions on anything going on at Hobart Stockyards? Give Mr. Smiley himself, Rex Fleming, a call down there at the Hobart Stockyards. Or you can go to the new copy of Penny News, is hot off the presses today, and get you a copy of that and look in there, and you'll look on, I don't know, page 3 and 4. That's the Today in Ag special pages in the Penny New. You can find out what's going on any stock market in Western Oklahoma, basically. And Woodward, Hobart, Western Oklahoma, Elk City, just goes on and on. You can find out what's happening at the sales, and a lot of good vendors in there selling good products on that page also. According to the livestock update that I got right here, live cattle are up 0.10. June, 137.65. August, October, and December are all down. August is at 136.17. October is 141.92. December is at 147.27. Feeder cattle, 171.27 for August. September is 173.45. Lean hogs for July, 109.60. August is 106.37. October coming in there at last place on the lean hogs at $93.12. And that's all you got going on there. Oil is up a little, has been going up and down this morning. It was 114. Right now it's at 117. Looks like natural gas has dipped well below the $8 range. It's at 762, somewhere right there around 750. And it's been hanging in there a few days, up and down a little bit. Other than that, that's all that's going on with that. All right. Let's check out the hot story that happened in southwest Kansas that contributes to high rare heat wave hit southwest Kansas, contributes to high feeder cattle death losses. All right. The video is disturbing if you're not familiar with cattle feeding business. Rolls of dead black hided fed cattle lined up in the harsh sun. Nearly as disturbing as the comments on social media surrounding, as of yet, an unverified video which was made rounds yesterday on social media, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, whatever, Instagram, and has garnered several thousand views. Actually, 100,000 views in a short time. A lot of this has been speculated, and it's speculated. And the reason why I think it's speculation, cattle have definitely died up there in a rare storm, they call it. It was a perfect storm. But this video flying around out there, want you guys to understand a few things. Number one, I actually think I've seen that. I can't verify it. I looked, I Googled, I YouTubed, I did everything. That looked like the same video that I seen a couple years ago and at the feedlot in Pampa when a truckload of feeders come in that was had a disease carrying with them, and they brought them into that feedlot, and it contaminated some of those, and these feeder cattle died. I can't verify that, but I'm just telling you that video looks so familiar. But if you look in that video, you'll see a skid loader moving them around. You can see where they dump these feeders. They're not cows, they're feeders. It looked like they was getting pretty close to being processed, and they're putting them in order out there. And I honestly wish this video had never made social media, but it has, so we're going to talk about it. And they're putting them in order, and the insurance agents, the cattlemen, that feedlot's insurance agents out there's taking inventory is what they're doing there. They look verifying ear tags to see who they are, who they belong to, because a lot of feeders and people's feedlots belong to other people. They don't actually physically belong to the feedlot in most cases, but sometimes they do. And that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing with that. But I still remember seeing that video a couple years ago in Pampa, Texas. But the Kansas Livestock Association Vice President of Communications, Scarlett Higgins, said KLA cannot confirm or deny the video that's making the rounds. She said KLA does not know if it was a shot in a feedlot, a yard in Kansas, or elsewhere, and the date of the footage. They do, however, have confirmed reports from member feed yards of higher than normal death losses due to an extraordinary heat wave event in western Kansas over the weekend, last Saturday and Sunday. The weekend of June 10th and through the 12th saw daylight temperatures spike into the 100s, and it happened here too across western Kansas, with little to no cooling temperatures in the evening. According to the Kansas State University MesoNet data for the Garden City location, daytime temperatures for the weekend ranged from 90.2 to 103 Fahrenheit, with nighttime temperatures from 60.7 to 75.9. High temperatures aren't unusual for western Kansas Junes, but however, in the May, the area also experienced unseasonably cool temperatures, some in the low 30s. According to the veterinarian Michael Thor, Research Director for Veterinary Research and Consultant Services based in Hays, Kansas, right next to Fort Hays, market-ready cattle with a high percentage of empty body fat didn't have ample time to acclimate from the those low temperatures to the high temperature spikes. The weather event was the perfect storm, resulting in significant issues for the feedlot industry. In addition to the high heat, there was also higher than normal humidity in that area with no wind speed. The MesoNet showed wind averages 5 miles an hour over the course of the weekend, with humidity averaging 44.9 to 69.6%. The high plains typically have more wind and lower humidity, allowing cattle to cool themselves better. There just wasn't enough time when the temperatures dropped enough to dissipate the heat and accumulate, adding to the stress. Fat cattle acclimation. It's important to know that these were ready market cattle for the most part, and just were about ready to head to the processor, so they were well over 1,000 pounds, depending on the feedlot. At that stage, feed yards manage those cattle differently, especially in the summer months. We limit cattle to one heat generation event a day to minimize those extremes. For example, they won't move any cattle from pens twice in one day, or they will manage the feeding time so that their food doesn't generate additional heat as at the wrong time of the day. Feedlots also provide extra water tanks and bedding for some of the solar radiation in those pens to lower the heat for those cattle. It's a little like if you were an overweight person and you jogged a 5K in 105 degree heat. You would drink more water to cool your body temperature. You wouldn't necessarily run another 5K that same day to let your body recover. As for large shades, they are usually in some of the areas in eastern Kansas to cool cattle and feedlots, and I've seen them up here in northwestern Oklahoma. They got those nets that are, the wind can turn as they're doing. They've got shade out there. But according to this veterinarian, shade can cause more trouble sometimes. This was an extraordinary event. Typically, there's more wind and lower humidity for cattle. Adding shades can actually cause crowding in the pen, generating more heat among those cattle. That's just how, like having these large people under one, you got 25 people under a 10 by 15 shade, pop-up shade, and it usually works, especially if the wind's blowing. But if the wind's not blowing, your body's already hot and you already come off this 5K run and you all try to fit underneath that deal, it just does a lot more heat. Shade can help, shade can hurt. But out here where we're at, when we're not in a feedlot, shade really helps cows and calves. The comments on the video post point to the roles of dead cattle as suspicious, and I seen where they had some closed captioning going on that this doesn't look like heat stress, this looks like President Biden did this and this did that, and that this, it's just not happening. This was heat related. The video cannot be verified at what feedlot it is or if it even happened, but they are saying here cattle did die over the weekend. She says that typically feed yards will go through and remove dead cattle from pens and place them in areas where they can be accessed to by rendering trucks. Cattle may be sent to rendering plants or to landfills if permitted, or to compost sites, all of which are properly documented and determined in advance of any need. In a large event like this, veterinarians will have to go out and take samples and see what the cause of the death actually was, mainly for insurance and program documentation. Animal IDs will be recorded for the accounting department. How many were lost? There's been a lot of numbers thrown out there on social media and in the reports, but KLA doesn't track those numbers and members do not self-report their death losses. However, the Kansas Livestock Association will say it was a significant amount of cattle that was lost. The weather event was a significant loss for the Kansas fed cattle industry. Hagen said that fed cattle were selling for $1.38 per CWC last week. CWT last week. So on average, a market-ready steer is probably worth around $2,000 a head. And there you have it. So I hope it kind of clears up some of your stuff. Like I said, there's no verification on that video. There was confirmation of death. I know I seen where one guy reported that was my buddy's feedlot, and he didn't lose 3,000, he lost 10,000. So, I mean, what do you believe? But there is, according to the Kansas Livestock Association, there was some death, but no confirmed numbers, and that video is not confirmed yet. So don't believe everything you see even on the cattle websites. When we come back, I got a couple things to talk to you about the Kansas wheat crop. And I got the U.S. peanut, and see if we can talk to him today, see if he can play on my deal today. But yesterday I played you guys a deal where we were out there at the Route 66 sod farm out here, East Elk City, along I-40 with Nikki and Kim Harrison. They had the Ag in the Classroom. I wanted to say Today in Ag, but the Ag in the Classroom bus out there with all these wonderful teachers out there. They went there, they went to Brad Harrison's, they went to their cotton farm. They were all over the place, I heard, so they were having a good time. Well, Riley Broadbent, that's working for B&L Red Angus up there at Putnam, she come down that day to help me, and we had a blast, and she had another interview with the teacher. So let's listen to her interview with that teacher. Find out what's happening at the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction and Purina's here at the Farmers Union Co-op and at Great Plains Bank. And then I'll be back with you with some more stuff.
This is Riley Broadbent with Today in Ag. We're out here at the Route 66 sod farm in Elk City, and we are visiting some teachers for Ag in the Classroom. They're out here visiting the sod farm, and I'm with Ashley Collier. Is that correct?
Yes, that's
okay.
Correct.
And I just want to ask you a couple questions. We'll start out, where are you from, and kind of just what you teach and all that stuff.
Okay, I'm from Nowata County. I teach at Oklahoma Union. I'm a third grade teacher. My husband is an ag teacher, and so we are really into education and agriculture. We have three children. They show livestock, and so we currently have pigs on feed. We are pulling steers out of the pasture this week for the fall show, and we are fourth generations. My family farmed, my dad's family farmed, his dad was a cattle producer, so we are just wanting to continue the generation and agriculture as we know it, I guess. Yes.
That's awesome. Well, I understand this is your first Ag in the Classroom.
Yes.
And this is your first year teaching, correct? So how has that whole process been, getting into teaching, and then this trip that you're on, how has that kind of impacted you so far?
Okay. Well, we are from a small rural school. It's actually consolidated of three towns, like a lot of schools in Oklahoma are. And we don't get a lot of newcomers coming to our area. And so I kind of was like, I feel like I should help somehow. So I was a parent for 2 years, and then I became a teacher, and I'm energetically certified, so I'm actually working on all my certification right now. I have an ag business degree, and I got in contact with Emily. I knew about Ag in the Classroom because I'm also a 4-H volunteer, so I knew a little bit about Ag in the Classroom from volunteering for 4-H, and so I now wanted to use it in my classroom. So I got with Emily. She was gracious. She set up a Zoom meeting with me, and she was like, here's the ropes. Go for it. And so I found a few things that I was really interested in, like the crops at the beginning, like introducing vegetables to the kids and how we could turn it into a fun project. So one of the funnest things that I can remember that I did off the top of my head is watermelon volcanoes. So we learned about the watermelon production in Oklahoma. We all got to try watermelon, and then we went outside and we made volcanoes inside the watermelons. And so I obviously have a lot that I can bring to the table for my classroom as far as agriculture goes, just from my background. And so I just like to incorporate it because it makes learning fun. And I really enjoyed teaching. So I'm looking forward to this next year.
You went from ag business to teaching.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
Well, it's, you know, I was in ag business for 6 years. I was a vice president at a bank, and whenever we moved home so that my husband could go back to our alma mater to teach, I became a stay-at-home mom. And after that, I was like, I want to be on the same schedule as my kids. I don't want to be working 8 to 5 or longer. Banker hours really don't exist. And so I knew what that world insisted, and I knew how much it had grown since I had been out for 6 years. And what a better way to be on the same schedule as my kids then and have my summers off than to be a teacher.
Well, you're a good person for being a teacher, because we need good teachers out there, and this Ag in the Classroom is just, it's really great to get ag out there where you can implement it in any subject that you teach, because it does go hand in hand with really everything we do. So thank you so much for talking to us today, and we're so glad that you came out.
All right.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, June 13th. 684 head were sold. 15 head of steers at 418 brought 208.50. 3 at 490 brought 185. 6 at 580 brought 154. 11 at 638 brought 176. 35 at 785 brought 154. 8 head of heifers at 317 brought 169. 4 at 428 brought 166. 5 at 526 brought 180. 7 at 611 brought 157. 11 at 771 brought 148.75. Butcher cows were 25 to 104.50. Butcher bulls brought 95 to 115. Pairs brought 1485 to 1700. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Hey again, Riley, if you're listening, thank you so much for that interview with the teacher out there, the Ag in the Classroom. The Ag in the Classroom deal is, it's a class act. I mean, those people were enjoying it. And they wasn't just standing off, just like, all right, let's get this over. That's a volunteer deal. They're not going to come out here. They weren't forced to do that. But anyway, it's great. Everybody was interested in what was going on. Now, there's a few of them I wouldn't let on the skid loader, but there's not very many of them I'd let on anybody on the skid loader, because skid loaders they're fun to run, but they can get you hurt too. Anyways, 92 degrees, 97 degrees is the heat index. The winds are out of the south, southwest, 14 miles an hour, 19 miles per hour wind gust. So anyway, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Long Ranger coming up, Farm and Garden Long Ranger coming up here pretty shortly. Well, I had a deal with Tyrone yesterday, and I ran out of time, and we're going to see if I can get it to play. So let's see what happens here, you guys. Let's see. Tyrone was reporting on the U.S. Peanut Federation discusses trades with lawmakers. So let's see what Mr. Tyrone Spearman has to say about it.
The U.S. Peanut Federation was busy this week appearing before a subcommittee. This special subcommittee was talking about trade priorities for U.S. farmers. In making the comments, Carla Baker Thompson spoke on behalf of the U.S. peanut farmers, buying points, and shellers to talk about the trade issues that are going on at this time. She said during her presentation, a look at present export markets for peanuts shows some of the issues we're facing. She said our best markets, and also those with most potential for growth, are the markets that pay premium prices. These markets provide prices that are profitable for exporters and have an impact on grower prices. Unfortunately, she said, some of these best markets are not healthy. The Canadian market saw an increase of U.S. peanut share until 2013, when we saw a dramatic decrease. In the last few years, the Canadian market has started to recover for U.S. exports, especially peanut butter, but is still significantly off the mark as compared to the numbers prior to 2013. In Japan, the U.S. has generally seen a flat trend line with significant market swings year after year. The EU market has been having trouble with the U.S. market the last few months about the levels of aflatoxin and how they inspect peanuts compared to the U.S. record. But that's just some of the issues unveiled at this hearing. I'm Tyron Spearman for Southeast AgNet.
Thank you, Mr. Tyrone. I always like to try to find something on peanuts, because we have a lot of peanuts in our listening area here, and I appreciate it. You know, it's been a while since I thanked all my sponsors on the show. Tomorrow, 1 year, the show's been running, and I've only lost maybe one or two sponsors for various reasons. Not that they didn't like me, but they had other things come up, and as a business person, you got to spend your money. But big shout out to SEI Agritech, Home Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma, and Mickey Lively down in Greer County, down there at Mangum for Oklahoma Farm Bureau, Great Plains Bank, First National Bank, Quentin over at the Elk City Co-op at the Farmers Co-op here, not over there, here, Canucks and Irrigation, and I'm so glad these people sponsored the show, because they're wonderful people, and I've met them. They've come in the studio now too, and that's how I met Riley Broadbent, was with Benji and Lori White at B&L, Red Angus and Putnam, up there in Putnam. And thank you so much. And then Jimmy and Tracy Taylor at the Taylor Ranch in Roger Mills County sponsor the Happy Taylor Cap Hour on Wednesdays, and Dr. Taylor Mouse has been going just as long as I have. She's been with the show sponsoring her cap on Tuesdays since day one. And so anyway, I just want an Elk City Livestock Auction, Hobart Livestock Auction, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, and Woodward Livestock Auction. And I just need to get Hollis on board. If any of you people are listening down there at Hollis, you need to give me a referral. And if somebody gives me a good referral and they come on board, and you text me and let me know that, hey, I did say something to him down there and he gets on board, I got a KECO brand cap with the Day in Ag initialed on the side of that hat for you. It's a rare collector's item. especially the ones that have autographed. I've only autographed one now. And that was to Joe Harden over there at Hex, in case any of you guys know him. He holds a special place in my heart for some reason. I really don't know why, but anyway, I autographed his hat, but very few people. It's a collector's item. But if somebody will get Hollis on board as a sponsor of the show, because, you know, I talk about them a lot anyway, not that they're not sponsored. I love giving out these auction reports on livestock from all of our listening area. So, anyway, help me out there. Help a brother out. Help a cousin out. Or is the girls up front in the studio now are calling me J-Dog. It's not Cousin Jim anymore. It's J-Dog. That's my name around here now. I don't have a clue. If you want to know, just call in to the radio station at the front office. Ask for Tara, and she'll give an explanation why she's calling me J-Dog. Anyway, it's pretty good. I love talking about peanuts and cotton. Man, cotton's in. There's a lot of, I notice a lot of cotton planted, and I haven't seen any up yet, but it's getting there. It's a busy time of the year. Speaking of the USDA, I got a lot of emails yesterday, and I'm going to go over the ones from Beckham County and Greer County because they were basically the same. They're all basically the same. But let's go over what's happening. And the girls are really wanting you guys to call in, make an appointment. But they'll be closed this coming Monday, June 20th, for Juneteenth. And July 2nd, let's see here. Nope, that's out. No, that one is out. They text me. July 4th, the office will be closed for Independence Day. July 15th is the deadline to report all other spring, summer planted crops, including sorghum forages, cotton, grain sorghum, grass pasture, and all remaining cropland intended for the uses of CRP. I know one of the girls this morning told me they'd only had four people call in to make appointments to get this done. Guys, it's June 16th. Deadline's June 15th. And I know there's people out there that ain't finished planting their cotton. They should have, but it's been wet. But anyway, get those called in. Or not call them in, and please don't stop by there. Call in, make an appointment, go in and get your stuff done. They really want you to do that. August 1st is the last day to file COC nomination forms, and guess what comes up? August 31st, you need to get your nap in for your fall crops. So anyway, important deals that's going on, because I got five emails yesterday from five of our counties. I'm sure it's going on the Texas side also. It's a federal program, so it's all ran basically the same. Get that called in for them, please. Anyway, we get back. I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast and a few more things to go before the show's over. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I farm and ranch for a living. That's all I do. So I've got property and equipment, irrigation systems, my house, my barns, and Mickey has everything now. I decided one day to call him, and I actually was having lunch with a friend, and he had his number, and we actually rang him up at lunch, and he was at my barn at my office that evening. Sat down, I showed him my deck sheets. He took them and was back in touch with me within 2 days or less with everything, and I pulled the trigger. He come back to the office, was signed all the papers, and wrote him a check. I've never actually been to his office. I think it's in Mangum, but I couldn't get there right now without looking it up. My name is Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmandGarden.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I was thinking of a funny story I need to tell you that involves a friend of mine over in the Hex area, the Bobby Martin. I pulled a surprise on him this morning. But anyway, first let's do the weather forecast. Brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden, Long Ranger. Anyway, 92 is temperature, 97 is the heat index, humidity is 48, and the winds are out of the south-southwest at 11 miles an hour, wind gust 18 miles an hour. Today, mostly sunny, south winds 15 to 16. Tonight, 71 for a low, 6 to 15 on the wind. Tonight, hot, 97. Or tomorrow, hot, 97. Saturday, sunny, hot, 95. Sunday, mostly sunny, hot, 94. Monday, 97 degrees. It looks like it's going to be a really nice evening for a 90% redneck and farmer convention at the Sayre Golf Course tonight with $3,000 or $4,000 involved in the pot. So it's going to, and I call it that because I'm friends with most of them, and I said that percentage because there is a few clean-cut people that will be there tonight. I think Skinny on the Sports, Aaron Kaut, will be reporting live from there, and he'll have a report on it on his show in the morning. If you guys join in, it's at 9 a.m., Skinny on the Sports show with him and Jarrett. Anyway, so earlier this week, or last weekend, I don't know if I was bored, confused from the heat, or whatever it is. Well, anyway, I fired up a Snapchat account. First one, maybe not quite the first one, but the first one to respond to me was the Bobby Martin. He's who they named the Bob Golf Tournament over. His name is on that tournament over there at Sayre. This was the first year for it. It's called the Bob. Anyway, he sends me a picture that I'm number one, and he said, Jimmy Clark on Snapchat, this ought to be good. So every day now, I've got something, either good or bad, sent to me on Snapchat from the Bobby Martin. Well, this morning, I was going to check the heifers, and I was in my Batmobile, I call it. It's my 2003 Tahoe. It's cheaper to drive than my one-ton 2019 Chevrolet feed truck. And a lot of people don't know me, and I got tinted windows in it, too. Well, I drove by, and Bobby runs, him and his dad run the R&R Powerline, and they do a lot of work around the Western Oklahoma, and they travel off to storms and stuff. Good, super good people, especially his dad. I like his dad a lot more than I do Bobby, but I do like Bobby. But anyway, he was out on the job, actually. And so, anyway, so I was talking to a buddy of mine. I said, I got to call you back. And so I wheeled around in my Tahoe. You know how short wheelbase they are. It's like a Jeep. You can just turn around, and I just wheeled down in that bar ditch, and my window's still up, and it's tinted. You can't see in there, and they were looking at me like, what? And I rolled the window down. I got a picture of Bobby, and so I'm going to Snapchat it later to some good friends of mine. Anyway, it was pretty funny. I was getting back at him. Oh, and he just sent me a snap. See what this does? And anyway, this is going to be awesome. Anyway, Bobby and I on Snapchat probably isn't a good thing. thing. Now, if we can get Chad Ripetoe and Joe Harden on there along with this, we could actually have some fun and make front page news probably. But anyway, so we're going. That's my the Bobby Martin quote of the day, and I'm sure he'll be at the Redneck Convention going on tonight around 6 o'clock at Sayre, Oklahoma. Well, tomorrow, remember, I got Mr. Mike Schulte. He is the executive director of the Oklahoma Wheat Commission. He will be on the show with me tomorrow in the second segment, so be sure and tune in for that, because he will give us a up-to-date, real, not speculated, but a real up-to-date wheat harvest report. We'll talk about quality, quantities. I've been hearing down south in Kiowa County and down towards Tillman County, and some of it even up here in Custer and Ouachita County, there is sprouts in the head that's been combined in the last week or two, or last week, ever since it was dry enough to get back in, which about last Saturday, there is sprouts in the head. So anyway, we'll find out some more of what Mike knows tomorrow about that. Kansas wheat quality is estimated to be above average and high in protein this year because of lack of rain, according to the Farmers Business Network senior commodity analyst Regina Gibilo. It's got to be Italian. That's not German. But anyway, such findings from a mid-May wheat tour that I talked about here a couple weeks ago through Kansas, conducted by the Wheat Quality Council, are the good news. The bad news is an estimated 100 million bushel drop in wheat yield production for the state. Everybody knows Kansas is the number one wheat producer of hard red winter wheat in the United States. 100 million bushels. I don't know if anybody's got their calculator, but figure that up. What is it, 900? Oh, I'll just do it for you. I got time here. What is a load of wheat? 900 bushels? Let's see here. Let's see what's going on here. 100 million. Three more zeros divide by 900. That's 111,000 semi-loads of wheat short of what it was last year. Does that tell you anything? That's crazy. I think about 30% of our average yield is going to be impacted by the drought this year. That's a value of over $1 billion for the state of Kansas. Persistent La Nina weather pattern that has failed to give away over the past 3 years facilitates hotter and drier weather conditions for the United States key production areas, and according to, we're not going to color by our last night, we're just going to go with Regina, how's that? On the other hand, the dry weather has produced perfect conditions for little pest and fungus damage, resulting in higher quality wheat. Miller's turn to pay more attention for higher quality wheat, according to the K-State University. The only time I got moisture on my pants from the Wichita to Manhattan stops was around twice, according to Regina, while talking about the wheat terror stops. And normally you have to wear rain pants before you're going to get wet from all the dew when they walk through the wheat that they're looking at on that tour. But it was never a problem this year. The Wheat Tour estimates Kansas will harvest 39.7 bushels per acre, while last year it was estimated at 47.4 bushels per acre. The USDA's 2022 winter wheat production forecast estimates U.S. production will be 8% lower than last year. And according to what I'm seeing, it's going to be even a bigger percentage than that. So anyway, but again, join me tomorrow on the show. We'll find out who is the richest redneck in Sayre, Oklahoma at the golf course after tonight, because it's a somebody take it all home. And plus, we're going to have Mr. Mike on here from the Oklahoma Wheat Commission. Anyway, I'm kidding about the rednecks. There's some really good people over there. I'm just trying to be funny. Anyway, it's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO. I'm Jimmy Clark, and God bless.
The biggest songs from the biggest stars.
Rick on the...